You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
In this bulletin, Lydia Thorpe announces Pay the Rent as the theme of the second Invasion Day Dawn service. A new twist in the sport grant controversy, but the federal government is standing by the embattled Minister for Sport. And arguments erupt over the rules of Donald Trump's impeachment trial. Lydia Thorpe says on January 26, for the second time in a row, a dawn service will be held in Melbourne and other cities across Australia to pay tribute to Aboriginal heroes fallen in the frontier wars. And these heroes fell in the struggle against colonization. The theme of this year's Invasion Day service has also been announced, and it's been dubbed Pay the Rent. The theme aims is a symbol that Lydia Thorpe says that shows that there is a need for reparation to ensure the survival of the oldest living culture in the world.
The theme, particularly coming out of Victoria this year, is Pay the Rent. And Pay the Rent is something that the National Aboriginal and Islander Health Organisation came up with to have real self-determination for our people. And this was talked about in the very early 1970s. It's a form of reparations. And one of the things that our old people said back then is pay the rent is reasonable, rational and responsible. It's a way of ensuring the survival of the oldest living culture in the world.
The mother of a girl who was left severely brain damaged from an electric shock at a state-owned housing in Perth has welcomed a public safety campaign, but questions why it took the government almost two years to act. Denisha Woods, then aged 11, was shocked with up to 230 volts when she touched a garden tap at her family's Beldon property in March 2018. The State Building and Energy Department, along with network operators Western Power and Horizon Power, announced this Monday that a three-month public safety campaign was launched, urging West Australians to immediately report any shocks or tingles. Denisha's mother, Lacey Harrison, says it's hurtful that it took authorities so long after the incident to launch the campaign. She says, if it can help another family, then I'm all for it, but it's a little too late. Unfortunately, it's not going to change for us, and that's the true trauma we're left with. There's been another twist in the scandal surrounding federal government's allocation of $100 million in sport grants. Nine newspapers are reporting the Minister for Sport, Bridget McKenzie, approved a $36,000 grant for a shooting club in regional Victoria without declaring that she was a member of that club. The club is in the electorate of Indi in rural Victoria, held by independent MP Helen Haynes. It's being alleged the sport grants were handed out for political reasons to seats the coalition was targeting to win at last year's federal election. But government MPs are continuing to stand by Senator McKenzie. Health Minister Greg Hunt has told Sky News that there was also an increase in sport grants in Labor Party-held electorates.
Every project was eligible for funding, and the point that I think would surprise many people is that the outcome of Senator McKenzie's involvement and decisions and deliberations was to increase the percentage of grants in ALP seats from 26% to 34%, and I suspect that most people have not been made aware of that, and that would surprise them.
Australia's chief medical officer is still playing down the threat of the new coronavirus, despite it making its first appearance in the United States. The new virus, centered around a fish market in the Chinese city of Wuhan, has now appeared in China, Thailand, Japan, South Korea, and the United States. Six people have died from the virus, all in China. Chief Medical Officer Brendan Murphy has told the Seven Network authorities are more concerned than they were a few days ago, but Australia is well prepared.
We obviously have developed more concern over the last 3 or 4 days on the basis of the significant increase in case numbers and the fact that human-to-human transmission to some extent has been proven, and the fact that there have been, as you say, 6 deaths. But Australia is very well prepared.
The virus is a type of viral pneumonia characterized by fever, cough, and difficulty breathing. It's similar to the SARS virus of a few years ago. The world's oldest asteroid strike has been found in outback Western Australia. Researchers at Curtin University in Perth have found the Yarrabooba crater, which is between the towns of Sandstone and Meekatharra, around 800 kilometers northeast of Perth, and it's more than 2.2 billion years old. That's 200 million years older than the next oldest asteroid impact on Earth and makes it about half the age of the Earth. The asteroid struck may have helped to lift the Earth out of a global deep freeze. And former New South Wales Government Minister Milton Okopoulos is back in police custody. 62-year-old Mr. Okopoulos, a convicted pedophile, was released from prison a month ago, but he's been arrested again in Sydney South. His lawyer says he may be being held on charges relating to his use of electronic devices and the mobile phone app WhatsApp. An argument has erupted over the proposed rules for the impeachment trial of United States President Donald Trump. The trial will take place in the U.S. Senate. The leader of Mr. Trump's Republican Party in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, is calling for compressed arguments and a speedy trial. Mr. McConnell's proposal is that there be 4 days of opening arguments, followed by 16 hours for questions to the prosecution and defense, followed by 4 hours of debate. Only then would there be votes on whether to call other witnesses. Democratic Party Senator Chuck Schumer says these proposed rules are simply Mr. McConnell going along with Mr. Trump's desire to cover up his wrongdoing.
If the president is so confident in his case, then why won't he present it in broad daylight? If Leader McConnell and the Republican senators who have said he's done nothing wrong, it's perfect, why not while the sun is shining instead of at 2 a.m.? Well, it's pretty obvious. It's pretty obvious. Why not? On something as important as impeachment, McConnell's resolution is nothing short of a national disgrace.
And the first attempt to amend the rules of U.S. President Donald Trump's impeachment trial has been defeated in the U.S. Senate. The Senate, controlled by Mr. Trump's Republican Party, has voted against the attempt 53-47. Further attempts to change the rules are also expected to be defeated along party lines. And still overseas, Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan has asked for the help of the United States in trying to resolve the latest dispute between Pakistan and India. Tensions have again been high in recent times between the two nuclear-armed neighbors. Imran Khan has met with U.S. President Donald Trump at the World Economic Forum in Davos in Switzerland. Mr. Trump says the U.S. and Pakistan are presently closer than they have ever been. Imran Khan says only the U.S. can solve the problems between India and Pakistan.
India, it is a big issue for us in Pakistan. It's a big issue. And of course, we always hope that the U.S. would play its part in resolving it, because no other country can.
And protests have continued in Lebanon as a new cabinet has been named. Riot police have fired tear gas at protesters who managed to remove barbed wire on the country's parliament buildings. Protesters have also thrown stones, firecrackers, and sticks. 3 months after former Prime Minister Saad Hariri resigned, protesters are rejecting the new government, saying they want independent technocrats rather than politicians to deal with the country's current economic crisis, which is the worst since the Lebanese civil war ended 30 years ago. The new cabinet consists mainly of specialists, but these specialists are backed by political parties. Protester Eli Albim says the protests will continue if the government does not listen to the protesters.
نحن كسوار إذا حكومة قلعت دفن الباقيين على الطريق وفي تصعيد أكيد للموضوع لأنه حالة ما بقى تحمل الجوع صار كافي الجوع دق أبواب كل العالم.
We as protesters, if the government will kick off, then we definitely will stay on the street and for sure there will be an escalation because we cannot afford the situation. Starvation is knocking on the doors of all the people. The poverty and the financial crisis, the suffocation that the country is going through. We will escalate more and more if the government will continue and not listen to us.
And in tennis, Ashley Barty will play Slovenia's Polona Hercog in the third round of the Australian Open today. Barty, the world's number one ranked female player, will be looking to improve on her first round performance, where she lost the first set of her match before coming back to win. She's one of five Australians who will feature today as the second round gets underway. In the men's singles competition, Australia's top-ranked male player Nick Kyrgios has got his Australian Open campaign off to a good start. The number 23 seed has defeated Italian Lorenzo Sonego 6-2, 7-6, 7-6 to advance to the second round. Kyrgios admits he was nervous going into the match.
Just with everything going on, got walking out there, I was definitely a lot more nervous than I have been in previous matches. And Australian Open, I usually feel pretty comfortable, but I was definitely really nervous walking out there. But I mean, the crowd was unbelievable. I got comfortable quite early in the match. I played an unbelievable first set, which helped. I thought the pressure kind of eased off after I won that first set, but he didn't go away. But yeah, I just feel like I'm just playing for a lot more than myself. It's not necessarily added pressure, but you know, I feel like I'm playing for a lot of people.
It's to be reminded that Kyrgios has been instrumental in raising funds for bushfire victims. And now, having a look at the weather around the country, Perth, mostly sunny, 25. Adelaide, partly cloudy, 36. Melbourne, late shower 2 and windy, 32. Hobart, late rain, 28. Albury-Wodonga, sunny, 29. Canberra, sunny, 32. Wollongong, much the same, 27. Sydney, a sunny day, 29. Newcastle, much the same, but 32. Brisbane, partly cloudy, 35. Townsville, mostly cloudy, 29. Cairns, a shower or two and a possible storm, top of 32. Alice Springs, sunny, 32. Darwin, rain and possible storm, and a top of 29. And that is NITV Radio News.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.